Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive with us. Today, we're going to be looking at project management, but from a little bit of a different angle than you might be used to. So we're exploring a model that can really help you kind of untangle any kind of messy situation. It doesn't have to be a massive project. It can even be, daily decisions, just a mental toolkit to help you with clarity and action.
Absolutely. And the great thing about this model is it's so simple. It boils down to three things: objectives, constraints, and measures.
So the source for our deep dive today is an article called Distinguish Objectives, Constraints, and Measures from the IT Governance blog. It's by Gerhard Friedrich. Before we kind of jump into the article itself, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about why those three elements are so important.
Sure. Well, they're important because they force you to simplify the situation. They force you to break down a complex situation into manageable pieces, really. So we have objectives, which is the what. What are you trying to achieve? The constraints are the why. Why are things difficult? What are the realities you have to take into account? And the measures are the how. How are you going to move forward?
So it's kind of like a strategic map to help you navigate the terrain of whatever you're working with,
Absolutely.
which I think is so cool. What I find really fascinating about it is that it can apply beyond just, a formal project. Can you give an example of how someone might use this in just everyday life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's say you're trying to get in shape. You want to run a marathon. That might be your objective, to run a marathon. You might have a number of constraints. Maybe you don't have much time to train. Maybe you've got a previous injury, maybe just even a lack of motivation. Your measures then become the steps you take to overcome those constraints. So you might find a training plan. You might work with a physio. You might join a running group to keep you accountable.
Yeah. So it's almost like you're taking this vague goal and turning it into something that is concrete with like a plan. But the article also kind of cautions against getting these things confused, right?
And that's where it gets really interesting. So one common mistake people make is they mistake a measure for the objective. So the article uses the example of a deadline for a
Oh,
project.
yeah, deadlines, the dreaded deadline. I think everyone listening probably knows about deadlines. We get fixated on that date.
Exactly. But the deadline is just a measure. The objective might be something quite different. So it might be to deliver a really high quality product, or it might be to solve a particular problem that a client has. If you focus too much on the deadline, you might rush the work and you might compromise the quality.
Yeah, it's like that, cramming for an exam. You might pass the exam, but you haven't really learned the material.
Yeah, absolutely.
The key is to keep the bigger picture in mind, I guess, right?
Absolutely. So your measures should always serve your objective. Don't let the measures dictate the objective. And that's where understanding your constraints is crucial.
So yeah, the constraints are kind of like the boundaries of whatever playing field you're working with. What happens though when those boundaries just seem too restrictive?
Well, that's when things get strategic. One of the most surprising things I found about this article is that constraints aren't always fixed.
You mean like we can actually change our constraints?
You can. So the article encourages us to think of constraints as potential targets for measures. So, for example, let's say your constraint is that you have a very limited budget. Your measure could then become to try and negotiate for more resources, or try and think outside the box and find ways to reduce costs. So instead of the constraint limiting you, you turn the constraint into a problem to be solved.
That is such a cool way to look at it. It's like turning a roadblock into a puzzle or something. But how do we know when a constraint is worth challenging?
Yeah, that's a great question. It comes down to critical thinking, really.
Hmm.
So you have to weigh up the effort that it would take to change the constraint against the benefit you're going to get from changing that constraint. Sometimes it might be easier just to work within the limits.
So it's like choosing your battles a little bit, I guess.
Absolutely.
But I love that just recognizing that they're not set in stone, just that alone is kind of opening up new possibilities. It leads to you thinking about objectives and constraints and measures differently. So we've kind of gone over the basic definition, but I think the article goes a little bit beyond just the definition. There's some interesting points in there about the psychology of it all. And that's where I think it gets really fascinating.
So the way that we perceive things, the way that we frame our objectives, how we react to constraints, the measures we choose, can all be influenced by our own mindset and perceptions.
Yeah, it's that whole thing, the problem is not the problem. The problem is your attitude about the problem.
So if you can learn to shift your perspective, and if you can approach these challenges with a more adaptable mindset and more flexible mindset, then you can really unlock so much potential for creativity and innovation.
So how does the article suggest we do that? Like, are there specific techniques or are there strategies to kind of reframe our thinking?
It doesn't give a prescriptive set of steps, but it does emphasize the importance of awareness and self-reflection. So if you can consciously try and be aware of your own biases and assumptions, then you can start to challenge those things and open yourself up to new possibilities.
So it's almost like it's just asking the right questions.
Yeah.
Like, is this really a constraint? Mm-hmm. Is this actually a faith constraint, or is it just something that I perceive as a constraint?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the power of this model. It's not just a framework for managing projects. It's a framework for thinking about anything in your life, any challenge you face. You can think about it in a more strategic way, more solution-oriented way.
So instead of getting bogged down in the obstacle, you can actually analyze it. You can figure out what your true objective is, and then you can start to think, okay, well, how can I actually get around this? How can I navigate this? How can I achieve my goal?
Exactly. Yeah. So you move from being reactive to being more proactive.
I love that. So we've kind of covered some of the basic theory now. What I'd really like to do is get into some real-world examples.
Okay.
Because the article does mention a few, and I think it'd be really helpful for our listeners to kind of see how this can actually be applied in practice.
Sure.
So maybe we could talk about a few of those.
Sounds good.
So let's get into some of those real-world applications. I know the article mentioned a project manager who's trying to convince their client to extend a deadline.
Right.
And that to me sounds like a classic sort of constraint versus objective clash.
Yeah, it is. So in that scenario, the project manager's objective is to deliver the project successfully.
Right.
But they're facing this constraint, which is the deadline that the clients impose.
Right.
Which may be unrealistic.
Yeah.
Given, you know, the amount of work involved.
Yeah.
So how can the OCM model help in that sort of situation?
Yeah. How does it actually help the project manager deal with that?
Well, first of all, it forces the project manager to define what their objective really is. Is it just to meet the deadline or is it something more than that? You know, is it to deliver a product that meets certain quality standards?
Right.
So once they've clarified that in their mind.
Yeah.
Then they can assess the constraint, the deadline, and determine what the best course of action is.
So would that be maybe trying to influence the constraint by negotiating with the client?
Exactly. Yeah. So that becomes their measure.
Okay.
They might, you know, present the client with some data showing why the current deadline is just not feasible, or they might propose an alternative,
right,
like reducing the scope of the project to meet the deadline.
So it's almost like it's a strategic negotiation where you're not just accepting the constraint. You're actually saying, okay, well, how can I work with this?
Yeah.
How can I reshape it?
Yeah, absolutely. And this highlights another really important point in the article, which is that sometimes the most effective measure is to reevaluate the objective itself.
Oh, interesting.
So in this case,
yeah,
the project manager might have to realize that the objective of delivering the full project scope by that deadline is just not realistic.
Right.
And they might then propose a revised objective, which is maybe to deliver a smaller portion by the deadline. So they're still meeting the client's needs to some extent, but they're also being realistic about what they can achieve, and they're avoiding, you know, meeting out their team.
It's like choosing your battles in a way, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to sort of scale back and just say, okay, well, what's actually realistic here? Let's adjust things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this model can be applied in much broader contexts than just project management. The article talks about it being relevant for personal development as well and decision making.
Now that you mention it, I can totally see how it would apply to personal goals as well.
Yeah.
Like, let's say somebody's objective is to write a novel.
Right.
Well, their constraints might be they have a really demanding job or, you know, family responsibilities.
Yeah.
Maybe even self-doubt, you know?
Sure.
That could be a huge constraint for people.
Absolutely.
And then the measures might be, okay, well, I need to carve out some dedicated writing time every day.
Yeah.
Or maybe I need to find a writing group so I can get some support, maybe get some feedback so that I don't just get bogged down by those feelings of, oh, I'm not good enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's almost like it empowers you to take ownership of your situation, right?
Yeah.
Rather than being, oh, these constraints, I can't do anything about it. It's like, okay, well, how can I work with this? How can I work around it?
Yeah, and that shift in perspective can be hugely beneficial because you go from, you know, feeling like you're being controlled by the situation to feeling like you're in control.
I love that. So we've talked a lot about constraints, but I'm wondering, can objectives ever become constraints?
That's a really good question. And it gets to the heart of the relationship between these three things, because sometimes you can hold too rigidly to an objective, and that itself can become a constraint.
Okay.
You know, it might stop you from seeing alternative solutions or adapting to changing circumstances.
Well, that's interesting. Can you give us an example of how that might happen?
Sure. So imagine a company that's fixated on launching a new product by a certain date.
Okay.
And they're so focused on that objective that they overlook some potential risks.
Uh-huh.
Or they fail to adapt to changing market conditions.
So they're so focused on hitting the target that they're not seeing the bigger picture.
Exactly. Yeah. So in that case, the measure, which is, you know, launching by the deadline, has become more important than the underlying objective,
right,
which might be, you know, to solve a customer's problem or to gain market share or whatever it is.
Right. So how do we avoid falling into that trap?
Well, I think the key is to regularly go back and reevaluate your objectives.
Uh-huh.
You know, ask yourself, are these still the right goals? Are they still relevant given, you know, where we're at now?
Yeah. It's like checking your map every now and then to make sure you're still heading in the right direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's another thing that I think is so cool about this model is that it's all about adapting and being flexible.
Yeah.
Because the world is complex and things are constantly changing.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a really valuable tool for anyone.
So we've talked about the more practical side of things.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, what about the psychological aspects of it?
Right.
I know the article mentioned that our perceptions and our mindset plays a big role in how we approach objectives and constraints and measures.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. So the article points out that our own biases and assumptions can influence how we see these things.
Right.
So, for example, if you have a fixed mindset where you believe that your abilities are kind of set in stone, you might view constraints as insurmountable barriers rather than challenges to overcome.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
But someone with a growth mindset who believes that they can learn and develop might see those same constraints as opportunities for growth and innovation.
So interesting.
And even our perceptions of objectives can be influenced by our mindset. So someone who is afraid of failure might set very cautious objectives.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, not wanting to kind of push themselves too far.
Right.
Whereas someone with a more optimistic outlook might set really ambitious goals.
Right. And then actually achieve more because of that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it sounds like self-awareness is key here.
Yeah.
The more we can understand about our own thought processes and our own biases, the better equipped we'll be to actually use this framework.
Absolutely. And the good thing is that the OCM model can help us develop that self-awareness because it forces us to consciously define our objectives, analyze our constraints, and choose our measures. And in doing so, we're kind of forced to confront our own assumptions and thought patterns.
Yeah, it's like holding up a mirror to our own thinking.
Exactly.
And that can be really helpful for just growing as a person as well.
Absolutely.
So it's not just about, you know, the practical aspects of it, but also like understanding yourself better.
Yeah.
So that you can move through the world in a way that is more aligned with who you are and what you want to achieve.
I love that. This has been such a helpful conversation so far.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground, from the practical applications of OCM to the more psychological and emotional aspects of it.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up,
sure,
there's just one thing that I wanted to touch on.
Okay.
Because we've talked a lot about how the model can help us analyze situations and choose the best course of action.
Yeah.
But what about the emotional side of things?
Mm.
Because, you know, sometimes it's frustrating when we come up against a constraint or we're worried that we're not going to achieve our objective.
So how do we deal with those feelings?
Yeah, that's a really important point. And it's an aspect of the model that we haven't really talked about yet.
So yeah.
The OCM model is a framework for thinking strategically.
Right.
But it doesn't eliminate the emotions that we all experience when we're facing difficult challenges.
Right. So how do we balance that strategic thinking with the kind of messiness of human emotion?
Well, I think that's where self-awareness and emotional intelligence come in.
Okay.
So it's really important to acknowledge and validate our emotions, you know, the frustration, the fear, the doubt.
Yeah.
But we don't want to let those emotions control us.
Right. We don't want to just get swept away by them.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not about suppressing our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It's about finding healthy ways to process those emotions and move forward. And sometimes that might mean, you know, seeking support from others.
Right.
Whether it's a mentor or a colleague or even just a friend, you know, being able to share our struggles and vulnerabilities with someone else can really help us gain perspective and, you know, find the strength to keep going.
Yeah, it's that whole if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this brings us to another important point, which I think the article only hints at,
Okay.
which is the importance of collaboration and communication.
Right.
Yeah.
It does mention that it can help you improve communication between stakeholders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where I think this model becomes even more valuable
Okay.
when you're working with other people.
Right.
Because if you can use this shared language and this shared framework to talk about objectives and constraints and measures,
Yeah.
you can foster greater understanding and alignment and collaboration within teams.
So instead of everyone having their own little silo
Yeah.
and kind of, maybe having conflicting priorities,
Right.
it's like, okay, we're all on the same page here.
Yeah.
We're working toward a common goal, and that common understanding is going to lead to better outcomes.
Exactly. Yeah. Better decisions, more creative solutions.
I love it. Well, this has been such a great conversation. I
Yeah.
feel like we've really explored this model in depth
Yeah.
from the practical applications to the
Yeah.
psychological and emotional aspects.
Yeah. It's been great.
But I think it's time to bring our deep dive to a close.
Sure.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into objectives, constraints, and measures, I'm just struck by how this model, it seems so simple on the surface,
Right.
but it's actually got so much depth to it.
Yeah, it really does. It's just a framework that can be applied to so many different things.
Yeah.
You know, making sense of complex situations, navigating uncertainty,
Yeah.
ultimately achieving what you want to achieve.
And it goes beyond just the practical,
Yeah.
like how
Right.
to solve the problem. It gets into like the
Absolutely.
psychological and emotional dimensions of it as well, which
Yeah.
I think is so fascinating.
And that's what makes it so powerful. It can be adapted to fit any situation or any individual.
So for our listener out there who's thinking, okay, this is all great in theory, but how do I actually use this in my life?
Yeah.
What would be your advice to them?
Well, I'd say just start by becoming aware of these three elements: the objectives, the constraints, and the measures. And the next time you're faced with a challenge, just take a moment to define what you're trying to achieve, what is your objective, and then think about the factors that might be holding you back. Those are your constraints. And then finally, think about the actions you can take to overcome those constraints and achieve your objective. Those are your measures.
So it's like a mental checklist you
Yeah.
can go through. And the great thing is it can be applied on such a, small scale or a huge scale.
Yeah,
That can be
exactly.
like a work project, or it can be, oh, should I get pizza or should I get a salad for dinner?
Yeah, exactly. And remember, it's not about finding the perfect solution. You know, it's about trying things out, adjusting, adapting.
So it's a process.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just about the destination, it's about the journey.
Exactly. And there are going to be setbacks along the way. There are going to be unexpected obstacles. And, you know, there might be moments where you doubt yourself. But by using this framework, you can hopefully navigate those challenges with a bit more clarity, a bit more confidence, and a bit
Yeah.
more resilience.
So to kind of sum up everything we've talked about today, we've learned that objectives give us direction.
Right.
The constraints give us context, and measures are all about taking action.
Yeah.
But it's really the interplay between those things
Yeah.
and our willingness to adapt and be flexible that allows us to truly reach our potential.
Absolutely. I think that's a great summary. And just to leave our listener with one final thought, don't underestimate the power of perspective. Sometimes just changing the way you view a constraint, seeing it as a challenge rather than a barrier, or looking at your objective from a different angle can really open up a world of possibilities.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into objectives, constraints, and measures. We hope you found it helpful, and we hope it gives you the tools and the confidence to go out there and tackle your own challenges and achieve your goals. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.